broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's get down to business now by speaking to a business leader, the CEO of Barloworld, Mr. Dominic Sewela, to help unpack the company's results that were released today, giving us some insight into the levels of resilience that they've had to demonstrate globally with its operations in Mongolia, in Russia, and even here in South Africa when it comes to their equipment business and other divisions, including the likes of Ingrain. Mr. Sewela, welcome to Kaya Biz, sir.
Good evening, Guguletu. How are you?
Keeping very well and excited to speak to you, sir.
Thank you.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, as we look at some of the major metrics, one thing is quite clear, it has been a fairly challenging environment in some aspects of your operations, but a resilient performance nonetheless, given the payout of a dividend. Let's contextualize this firstly by starting off with the South African environment and then, I guess, comparing that to the markets, other markets that you operate in.
Yes, I guess when you look at South Africa, you know, clearly the mining sector has gone through a significant downturn. Not that it was unexpected, because I think we did indicate to the market last year when we gave an outlook to say this year is going to be challenging given, you know, commodity prices. I think when you look at our customers, they've taken, you know, a huge knock in terms of prices and the challenges with respect to the rail network regarding Transnet. So there's been a myriad of issues, and in invariably that impact us as equipment providers and service providers to the mining sector. And I guess, you know, prior to the elections, you know, the construction sector also was subdued, you know. But I'm pleased to say, you know, post, you know, the, you know, GNU and elections, you know, we're beginning to see, you know, green shoots in terms of, you know, orders by, you know, government in terms of equipment, particularly the likes of Rotech, you know, in Eskom. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you look at our order book, is looking better in terms of outlook. But, you know, the results themselves have been impacted. You know, we're down 70% on revenue, and largely it's attributable to our equipment South Africa business.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Let's keep with the equipment for just a moment and maybe even including the mining cycle that we are in at the moment. A lot of this does, I guess, rely, as you mentioned, on the order book, but also this renewed level of resilience in the South African economy. What green shoots need to continue in order to see this level of resilience and growth, not only in the economy, but in your operations?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in terms of, you know, let's start with the macro issues. I mean, you know, when government can encourage investors to come into to the country and create a level of certainty, I mean, you know, that's very important. I mean, if you start with construction, mm-hmm. you know, the whole construction mafia, that has got to be contained. Because if we cannot ensure that when projects are awarded to contractors who could complete the job, without interruption, that doesn't give certainty. And I guess, you know, those are some of the issues that needs to happen on the regard. But I think if you look from an inflationary point of view and the decreasing interest rates, you know, companies are then able to borrow, you know, cost effectively, then new projects will be awarded and then companies will be able to buy equipment. So that for me, I'm saying in the local market, but internally to Barloworld, there are several levers that we have to pull. The first lever that we have to make sure through the cycle is cost management. You know, secondly, working capital management becomes paramount, particularly in our distribution business.
Yes.
And lastly, you know, a very strong balance sheet in terms of how do you manage, you know, your debt levels and making sure that you're not paying interest that far outweighs or, you know, it's very destructive, you know, to value, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of paying off your debt, that is something that you've done incredibly well within the last financial year. Is this still, a journey and trajectory you're looking to maintain?
I think, you know, where we are, because you've got to keep a good balance between equity and debt. Mm-hmm. I think where we are, I'm comfortable that, you know, we can maintain these levels, particularly if interest rates are falling, you know, because if you end up just having too much cash, you know, and no debt at all, I don't think it's also good for business. So my view is that at these levels, you know, we're fairly comfortable, but there could still be some room, you know, to bring it down if you don't see, you know, demand of working capital, particularly for inventory purposes, you know, because, you know, if we're not ordering, you know, products, we end up actually, you know, producing a lot of cash, you know, which will then necessitate that we'll reduce our debt. But I'd rather be allocating that capital slightly different and returning it to shareholders in the form of buyback, mm-hmm. or alternatively, you know, a special div or just dividend. That is if one doesn't find opportunity to acquire businesses. You know, that, you know, could be one way of looking at it.
You read my mind. I was going to ask about potential acquisitions. Is the market ripe for that at all at the moment?
I think, you know, at any given time, I mean, you know, there is an opportunity to acquire a business. It depends, you know, obviously in terms of, you know, price most of the time, mm-hmm. because we don't like overpaying for assets, you know, because we feel that, you know, if you overpay, you end up, you know, penalizing the shareholders because you end up impairing down the line. So I find that, you know, in the opportunities that we're looking at, particularly in the UK, we find that, you know, price, you know, they were quite unrealistic in terms of price, you know, and the kind of, you know, multiples from an EBITDA point of view were too high for our liking. But, I mean, we continue to scour the market and, you know, we haven't found anything that we could speak of at the moment.
Got you. Let's talk about a business that you acquired back in 2021 and has managed to contribute to the business, and that's Ingrain. Again, seeing a level of resilience and deliberate turnaround actions that have been initiated. Give us some context here, because this is one aspect of your business that touches our lives as consumers in the grain and, I guess, consumables space, glucose and other food products that are essentially produced and manufactured here.
Yeah, I guess with Ingrain, when you bought that business from Tongaat, you know, it was a business that was lagging in, you know, capital expenditure, mm-hmm. because it's an old, you know, business, you know, and we found that from a production point of view, there were a lot of, you know, reliability issues and efficiencies, you know. So, you know, during the first 6 months of this year, we spent a lot of time right-sizing that business and also spending some capex on critical, you know, equipment items. You know, we've seen in the second half, the efficiency improving in that business. So my view is that, you know, that business, when I look at the acquisition thesis, is ahead of our acquisition thesis, you know, save for, you know, returns, because we also sent a set, you know, return matrix. I think the only area where it's lagging is in that, you know, that matrix. But overall, you know, in terms of cash generation, you know, and cash conversion, you know, and the margins of the business, you know, we're fairly comfortable that, you know, the business is performing ahead, you know, of what we acquired, you know, at the time. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, so I'm fairly comfortable, you know, and with the consumer confidence, we like to see, you know, also an uptake in volumes in that business.
Got you. Let's talk about your operations, especially within Russia and Mongolia. Mongolia is still proving to be very resilient, but Russia, I guess there's a lot of noise around geopolitics, and you've highlighted this within your earnings today, the outcomes in the elections in the US, how that influences the relationship between Russia and the Ukraine, the responses we saw from Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, last week. So there's a lot of noise and uncertainty that continues to exist. How are you managing that or monitoring part of the news flow and its impact on your operations as Barlow World?
I guess, you know, let's start with the US, you know, Russia nexus. Mm-hmm. I think with Trump 2.0, we hope if he keeps his, you know, promises around, you know, trying to end the war as soon as possible in Russia and Ukraine, that will, you know, augur well for our business, you know, because it would mean that, you know, there's peace in the region. And you know, in also we'll end up having sanctions being lifted in that region, you know, because I think, you know, what's also impacting our trading is sanctions that are being tightened day by day, week by week in that environment. So my view is that, you know, if we see that, we'll see once again our Russian operation come through, because one thing, you know, which is factual, Russia as a country is endowed with a lot of mineral resources, mm-hmm. you know, that you cannot just ignore. If you want to look at playing in the long term in that game. And hence, it's the reason why at the beginning of the war, we said, you know, we'll stick around and see through, you know, that things get better at a point in time. So that's really, but we can't live on hopes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that we say, you know, practically what can we do in the meantime? So we did pick up, you know, some, you know, violations of, you know, exchange, you know, export control in the operation. We've since subsequently put measures in place to curtail those, and we've appointed an independent forensic investigator, you know, also self-reported, mm-hmm. you know, to BIS, you know, sort of as part of a mitigation, you know, so that if indeed what we thought we picked up is true, you can ask leniency from BIS to make sure that, you know, we don't, you know, we don't suffer a heavy penalty, mm-hmm. in that regard. And those are some of the issues that we're dealing with in that environment. But other than that, is making sure that we retain, you know, our key staff, because to train employees, you know, we've been in Russia for 26 years. It's not easy to find well-trained, you know, and people who identify with the Balo World culture like, you know, our Russian employees do currently. So we also want to make sure that we don't lose, you know, such employees, you know, and that's basically what we're trying to manage in terms of what's within our control in that environment.
Got you. I think that's such an important aspect and avenue to talk about. And maybe I can say this confidently because I've worked with the group and understood some of your operations, is that it's not just about making sure that investors obviously do see a return as they are seeing now in terms of the dividend payout. But your secret sauce to your success has really been about staff. And maybe you can indulge us there just in terms of the change or shift in terms of workflow to maintain productivity, innovative outcomes that lead to the profitability that the business continues to strive for.
Yeah, I guess one of the key issues for us, you know, is launching the Balo Business System. You know, at the core of that business system is respect for people. And when you say respect for people, it's not just, you know, in words, is recognizing employees, allowing them to come up with solutions, because they are the people at the cutting edge, you know, of the, you know, where work is done. You know, so for us, it's important that we focus on it. And another element is daily continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. You know, 1% improvement on a daily basis, when you compound it, it provides a huge impact. And that's why a company like ourselves, we operate in these multi-jurisdictions, very, you know, difficult environment, you know, to operate in. Therefore, we're then able to move our people around. We've moved some of the Russians to Mongolia. Some of them are we're looking at deploying them in the rest of Africa, precisely for that reason, because we've invested so much. You know, a business is not a business without its people. Mm-hmm. And that for us is what, you know, we do in recognizing people and being empathetic to them when they're going through challenges, yep. You know, and, you know, because, I mean, employees are not politicians. They don't cause some of these issues. So we, as leaders, we need to be there in supporting them through a difficult time. You know, we're experiencing similar issues in Mozambique, closer to home, mm-hmm. where there is riots due to political, you know, instability in that part of the world following the elections. And we are reaching out and assisting our employees to cope, you know, and we're deploying various assistance, you know, to help them, you know, because mental well-being is also important, you know, because we rely on government to provide physical safety, mm-hmm. but there's also psychological and mental, you know, and mental well-being, mm-hmm. that we need to take care of for our employees.
Definitely. So it's very important aspects that do contribute to the business. One thing that has caught my attention, especially looking at your numbers and this has been shared, is the outlook. And like many other CEOs in South Africa, there is a sense of optimism that appears to have come through regarding not only the South African environment, or maybe specific to the South African environment, if we do take a look at operations here. Help us understand where you're seeing some of the green shoots and the silver lining within the local market.
I think that the biggest green shoot, I think, you know, is very clear that infrastructure backlog, you know, upgrade and maintenance is very critical to South Africa. And, you know, that has been neglected. I think, you know, with the advent of the GNU, we have seen, you know, a renewed optimism. We've also seen, you know, various, you know, government authorities, you know, the likes of Central, you know, reprioritizing spending. I mean, the change of leadership at Eskom. You know, all this augurs well. I mean, you know, we have since, you know, since posting our results, received an order book to the tune of about 800 million, all attributable to, you know, to construction. And therefore, if that is maintained, you know, that will go beyond just being a green shoot. I mean, you know, it will begin to see resilience, you know, in that part of the market, because clearly we do need investment in infrastructure. So that's where I see things coming through. Whereas on the mining side, we might have to wait for a little while, you know, probably another year, you know, because those are more driven by global demand for these commodities. So I don't see a short-term solution, but I think construction and energy, you know, side, I think there's potential, you know, upside there.
Awesome. Riding the long-term wave, as we typically do. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Mr. Siwela. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Dominic Siwela, the Group CEO of Balo World, giving us an update on the company's earnings.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.